presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
A lot of different stuff on the show today. We're going to hit a bunch of different topics. I don't know that any of them all together are all that consequential, but it is kind of an interesting thing. Later on, I'll kind of get to, a bit of a mea culpa. I don't really want to talk about this, so I'll try to talk about a lot of stuff before I get to that. Let me begin with something at least semi-recruiting related. Saw the tweet from Jamil Burrows, the four-star defensive lineman, a UGA commit at least currently, but he kind of teases at the possibility that might not be the case forever. He says decisions, and he's got kind of a questioning emoji there going along with that photo. For those of you who are not listening or not watching on video, that's kind of what Burrows put out there on Twitter. Now, sometimes it's hard to know what any of this stuff kind of means. He might be talking about any number of things, but it is fair to point out that in terms of Burrow's status as a part of Georgia's 2020 recruiting class, that's been questioned by those who are not named Jamil Burrows as well. There has been some debate about whether or not maybe Burrows might be swayed by another school, whether Georgia might be more interested in other defensive line prospects. This is just kind of par for the course this time of year. And for Georgia in particular, who, if you want to go back and look at the early stages of the 2018 class, there were a lot of guys committed to that class that ultimately didn't sign at Georgia. 2019, there were also at least a couple guys who were UGA commits in the mix for UGA, but by the time the hay was in the barn for the class 2019, the names didn't look precisely the way they might have looked in the late summer, early fall, and that's just kind of the way that Kirby Smart works it. He goes hard for the best 85 that he can get, the best 25 or thereabouts in each and every signing class, and the recruits that he's in the mix with are also going to go hard as well. They're going to be shopping around for their best overall opportunity. Kirby Smart's going to be shopping around for his best overall opportunity as well. This is just the nature of kind of full combat recruiting, which Georgia's very much in the mix for. And as I said before, when it comes to the Burrow situation, this is not necessarily a new thing. Questioning his status both in terms of his own interest in Georgia, and maybe it's fair to say Georgia's interest in him in comparison to some of the other defensive linemen. Let's go back to a couple of months ago on the heels of what looked to be an enjoyable LSU visit for Jamil Burrows. Burrows talked to our buddy Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation about his willingness to look around at other schools and his current relationship with Georgia. Here's what Burrows said then.
The only school I've really been to is LSU lately, so LSU, it was a good visit, you know, but, you know, comes around, the dog's always on top. You know, is there something about Georgia that I really love? And, you know, compared to LSU, Georgia, you know, Georgia, they more real than LSU.
Would LSU be the closest contender
here
to Georgia?
Yeah, they're top two, sure.
If there's anybody that could flip you, would it be LSU?
Yeah, most definitely, to be real.
So that was the case then. It seems like now that Burrows may be considering a whole host of other schools a lot more in the mix there. Now, the kind of underlying subtext to all this, whether Burrows remains in the class or not, he is just one of the few in-state guys that Georgia's talking to whatsoever. So for those people who kind of like it when, as people have said in the past, those dogs stay at home, Burrows could end up being another example of maybe that not being the case. But the honest truth is, it's probably way too early to see where any of this is going. It's pretty clear, though, that Burrows is weighing his options, and it may be fair to say that Georgia's doing something of the same thing. Let me transition and talk about something completely different for a moment. Could not help but notice Brett McMurphy, who has a bit of a habit of tweeting out some Las Vegas information from his Twitter account. McMurphy's kind of a longtime college football reporter, and he talks to the Vegas sports books from time to time, and he tweeted out recently some really interesting playoff odds as it relates to not winning the national championship, but the odds of making the college football playoff. And I got to tell you, Georgia's playoff odds, to the extent that I understand what McMurphy has tweeted, are staggeringly high. Do we have this tweet? Can we show this to the audience here for a moment? It's probably not a surprise to you to find out that Georgia is third best. They're essentially in all the preseason rankings, basically third best with everything. Bama and Clemson have the same college football playoff odds. They are 1-6. That means you'd have to bet, just for the sake of conversation, $600 just to win $100 on an Alabama-Clemson bet. Georgia, according to McMurphy, who cites the Superbook USA, which I believe is the Westgate Hotel in Las Vegas. Y'all may correct me on that, but I believe it's the Westgate that's the Superbook. He cites Georgia's playoff odds as being 1-1. Now, you may say, what in the world does that even mean? My guess is that their actual odds, as they're listed in the Superbook, are probably slightly less than 2-1. My guess is Georgia's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of plus 165, plus 150, something along those lines, meaning that you would have to, you know, if you want to win $150 back, you'd have to wager $100 on Georgia on that. I may be wrong about that, but I'm guessing that's what that kind of means here. But then after Georgia, you have a pretty good chasm of programs. Michigan a little worse than a 2-1 to make the playoff. Ohio State at 3-1. Then you get an Oklahoma, which is about 3.5-1, and then a host of LSU, or I should say SEC teams like LSU, Auburn, whatnot. I will get to them more a little bit later in the program. A little bit surprising to see Nebraska at 6-1 there, according to the Las Vegas Superbook, to make the playoff. That's probably more of an example of if you win the Big Ten West, you're likely one game away from the college football playoff. Nebraska's not really a 6-1 type team, but they may have a 6-1 type path to the college football playoff. Nonetheless, though, to see Georgia that high to make the playoff, I think is a bit of a reminder about how they are viewed within the landscape of college football right now. Yes, they've lost Alabama head-to-head the last 2 years. We've been over that ad nauseum. Yes, there is still a bit of a gap between Georgia and Clemson, because Clemson's won a couple national championships going back to 2016. In the minds of Georgia fans, that only adds to the insatiable appetite to see Georgia in that spot and holding that trophy. The one thing that I can keep coming back to and pointing to, though, is that when it comes to the people who are willing to put their money where their mouth is, those Las Vegas sportsbook people, those people that put money attached to their opinions, those people who put betting odds attached with their opinion, they continue to tell you that Georgia is right there in the mix for the very best in college football. And I do think it'll be interesting to see. As SEC Media Days gets rolling this week, with Florida there and LSU there this week, today, two teams that are kind of thought to be either threats to Georgia from a playoff standpoint, or in Florida's case, a potential threat to Georgia in the regular season schedule. I do think it'll be interesting to see just how much the programs like that are asked about the perception that Georgia is well out in front of them, the perception that Georgia is closer to a national championship than they are. Alabama's obviously the dark cloud that hangs over the entirety of the SEC. But in terms of national perception, there's a good bit of distance between Georgia and the rest of the league as well. How much the rest of the league plans on changing that? I think that could end up being one of the hot topics for SEC Media Days this week. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, Apple, Google, kind of everything else, the world-famous DogNation.com. I know many of you listen in there. We just appreciate you being with us here on Dog Nation Daily today, and really excited about Dog Nation Days of Summer. Please go to DogNation.com, find out more details about this. Brasstown Valley Resort is a beautiful, beautiful place, and it is going to be an incredible host for us for the next big phase of Dog Nation Days of Summer right there on Thursday, August 1st. Now, a couple things I want to deal with here for a moment. Yes, the registration for your chance to win the VIP giveaway is currently ongoing. So you can go to DogNation.com, get in for your chance to win on that. So please don't let more time pass, because eventually they're going to shut that off and cut that down, and you're not going to be able to get in and register. So if you have not registered already, register there at DogNation.com for your chance to win the VIP giveaway stay, courtesy of our friends at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. You can also go to DogNationHelp@gmail.com. I'll give you the email address one more time. DogNationHelp@gmail.com. Yeah, there you go on the screen for the video, folks. You can write that down. My understanding is, now this was as of last week, it may have changed here to start the new week, but as of last week, we still had a couple slots left for our golf event on Friday. It's a beautiful golf course. In fact, if you're watching a video, you can see this right now. This is an unbelievable pristine condition golf course set in the North Georgia mountains of Towns County, Georgia. Your chance to play golf with us there on that Friday. Couple spots left on that, but you got to get signed up. This is one of those things that when the spots are gone, we really can't do anything about that anymore. So go to that email address I gave you before, dognationhelp@gmail.com. You can find out more information about that. Then one more piece of business I want to take care of for Dog Nation Days of Summer. We can move on with the rest of our program here today. The other question we get a lot is, well, B.A., I live in the North Georgia Mountains already. Maybe you live in Towns County. Maybe you live kind of, you know, in that area around Blairsville, or just close enough where the drive makes sense for you. You just want to come for the event, and you don't need overnight accommodations. The great news is that both Dog Nation and Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa are ready to welcome you with open arms. So the event's going to be there at 6 p.m. It's going to be an incredible time and such a fun conversation. Getting ready for the upcoming season, kind of laughing and telling some great stories and just, generally speaking, kind of hanging out. And you don't have to stay overnight to be there. You can come by and see us that night starting at 6 p.m. It's going to be a great time. Now, for the overnight folks, we're going to have a really good time extending beyond just the regular event. But come on by and see us. I'll do Dog Nation Daily there from Friday morning at the normal time. You can come by and see that as well. It's just going to be a great time. It starts Thursday, August 1st. It's the next iteration of our Dog Nation Days of Summer, and I cannot wait to see you there for that. All right, coming up in a couple of minutes here on Dog Nation Daily here today, I'm going to welcome in Mike Griffith, our buddy. Kind of a surprise appearance for him. Not normally a Monday guy here on our program, but he will be with us today on Monday. And the reason why he's going to be here is he's already in Hoover, Alabama for SUC Media Days. It kind of gets going officially today. We'll get a little bit of a preview from that with Mike, both in terms of what he expects to hear from Kirby Smart and Andrew Thomas and Jake Fromm and J.R. Reed. The Georgia players will be there tomorrow. But I also want to talk to him a little bit about what's going to also go on today with Dan Mullen at Florida being there, Ed Orgeron at LSU being there. Missouri's going to kind of be there as well, although from a Georgia standpoint, the other two programs are probably more consequential for Missouri. I think that Missouri is going to be a pretty hot topic in terms of their battle with the NCAA and their attempt to, as they've been saying, make things right, the NCAA to make it right with them. We could have some pretty good drama with Missouri at SEC Media Days today in terms of some pretty strong rebukes of the NCAA, but one way or another, that won't reference Georgia all that much. However, the stuff involving Florida definitely will. And I was thinking about this. I'm not going to be in Hoover today. I will be there tomorrow. If I was there and had a chance to ask Dan Mullen a question, I believe this is the question that I would ask. And this is probably a textbook definition of concern trolling, asking a question from a perspective of concern that's only meant to kind of stir the pot a little bit more. I think I would say it this way. Y'all tell me if you think this is a good question. Coach Mullen, I realize you can't talk about recruits by name right now, but there seemingly have been a few examples so far this offseason of head-to-head recruiting battles with Georgia in which your program has lost. What do you need to do to change the recruiting momentum for the Gators? I think that would be a really fun answer to watch Mullen give, because I think the answer that Mullen would try to give there is something along the lines of, oh, no, we're very happy with the state of our recruiting. We're very happy with the guys that we've got. And I think when Mullen says something along those lines, and he very well may get asked that question today, or some version of that question, he'll certainly be asked about, some of the transfers and some of the things like that. I think what's going to be interesting about that is, and this is where the kind of concern trolling part of this kind of comes in, I think that he sets for himself a trap with his own fans, because I've always believed this to be true. Ultimately, Dan Mullen's biggest issue in terms of what I think has been a pretty shaky offseason for the Gators, ultimately, I think his biggest issue is not people like me that admit to being a Gator hater or people around the rest of the SEC. We've had a couple of these lately, Tony Barnhart, Barrett Slee, and others, who are still a little skeptical of the Gators. Ultimately, that's not Mullen's biggest issue. Mullen's biggest issue are the expectations of his own fans, who right now look at a recruiting landscape where Florida's just essentially irrelevant. They were a top 10 class a year ago, but in terms of going head-to-head and winning with the kind of players that allow you to close the gap with teams like Georgia and Alabama, Florida just essentially did not do that. So if Mullen tries to disregard some of the losses he's had recently, some of the lack of inroads he's had with some of the top in-state products from down there in the state of Florida, ultimately it's going to be a problem with his own fans there, and I think that is actually pretty interesting. On the LSU part of this for a moment, I think it'll be interesting to see if Orgeron's asked about Georgia at all. They did beat Georgia a year ago. He also went head-to-head and one with a major running back recruit, John Emery Jr., who I think is going to be a major part of the SEC story this year. How much when Orgeron speaks today does Georgia come up one way or another? I think that might be kind of interesting to see, especially given the perception that's out there, as I mentioned a moment ago, that Georgia's a lot closer to the college football playoff than LSU seemingly is. I think that'll be a fun discussion to watch unfold. And we'll see that happen from SEC Media Days a little bit later on. All right, before I bring in Mike Griffith, let me also say one more thing. I put this out on Twitter over the weekend, and I even wrote about this at DogNation.com when I posted one of our podcasts this week. So I kind of got duped by a fake Twitter account on Friday. I'm really disappointed about that because I feel like while when it comes to technology stuff, there's plenty of social media type things I've never pretended to be an expert at. But typically speaking, I think there's even some examples of this in the Dog Nation Daily Age, where I've been pretty good at spotting bogus tweets, internet hoaxes. I've typically been pretty good at spotting that, but I kind of got drawn off sides by the Colin Cowherd thing on Friday. I think it was one of those things where I was in kind of a fun mood, looking for a fun topic. I thought that fit. The tweet itself mentioned Jeremy Pruitt by name, but the Cowherd audio wasn't that. So I wanted to have a mea culpa for that, and we'll try to do better here around Dog Nation Daily for the for the next 20 years to make up for what is a pretty dumb error going back to Friday. So I at least wanted to take my medicine on that, because goodness knows I call out enough coaches and players for making mistakes. On Friday, I made one as well, so I'll take some medicine for that. By the way, no mistake here. Make sure you take advantage of your local Kroger for the biggest sale of the season on patio sets and grills, summer housewares, toys, and sporting goods. You can save up to 50% off, so you got to hurry in to your local Kroger to take advantage of that. All right, later on in the program, I want to talk more about some of those playoff odds and one thing in particular that I noticed about them. We'll do that. There's a fun take out there about what might happen at SEC Media Days a little later on this week. We'll address that. But for now, though, in Hoover, Alabama, let's talk to our buddy Mike Griffith.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Good enough to join us here on what is not typically his day on Dog Nation Daily, a Monday, but wanted to kind of get SEC Media Day started off in style by talking to Mike Griffith here on the program today. He's already in Hoover. He'll hear from Florida, LSU, Missouri, their representatives later on. The commissioner, Greg Sankey, will speak. It'll be interesting to see if that gets controversial in any way or another. Mike, thanks for being with us. Thanks for kind of starting off SEC Media Days in style with us. Can't wait to get your perspective. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
So let me start with the Georgia part of this, which we'll see tomorrow, and then we'll talk for a little bit about what's going to happen here today. I know you wrote at DogNation.com about what you expected Kirby Smart to be asked about, and, you know, generally speaking, I think you're right. The Holloman thing's going to come up a lot. We talked about that with Barrett Sleet from CBS Sports last week. We haven't heard Kirby speak on that at all. We do need to hear from him on that. I also, though, as we said last week, think there'll be some regional media, national media, which will erroneously try to turn this into a gotcha moment, saying, you know, what did you know? When did you know it? And, Mike, I think the local contingent, for the most part, I'm talking about media members here, and really for the most part even fans as well, are pretty comfortable with, and familiar with this timeline, that Georgia, in all likelihood, became aware of the Holloman situation in early June when it was reported to the police by the young lady that Holloman was involved with. There really is no there in terms of any kind of scandal, and yet I still think there'll probably be a media member or two that tries to use this as a grandstanding moment. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, and people are sensitive to that in our society, as they should be. And part of it, being frankly, part of this is Kirby's fault. I mean, he could have addressed this. He could have hit this on the front end when it first came out. When he put his release out that he was dismissed, he could have added one paragraph that said, "You know, when our staff was alerted to this, we immediately investigated it, and upon our findings, it could have just been handled better on the front end." I think. And yes, I would agree with you. Because here's the thing. Here's the logic of it. In my mind, if Kirby Smart or the Georgia staff is aware that J.J. Holloman is involved in an alleged incident, there's no way he does that police interview without legal representation. There's no way. Schools typically provide resources for these players to be represented. J.J. obviously sat down with the police officer during the report by himself. There's no mention of a legal representative being on hand. And to me, that's the sign that that Kirby surely did not know. So, to your point, there are national media members. Kirby's let this thing linger a little bit. I have a feeling that's going to be one of the first things out of the gate, unfortunately. But there's so many good things for Georgia to talk about. So many great things that Kirby's done for this program that I think we'll be gotten to this week.
So here's what I'm also curious about along those lines, bringing it back more between the white lines of football for a moment. You know, we've heard Kirby talk a lot about the new offense of James Coley going back to spring practice. but not necessarily mentioning Jim Chaney by name all that much. I think it is going to be kind of interesting when you see coordinator leave Georgia, seemingly in good standing, to go to one of Georgia's SEC East rivals, Tennessee. This kind of feels like also the kind of thing that the local media, I mean regional media in this case, is going to kind of eat up and have some fun with. How much do you think Kirby will be pressed on Chaney this week, both in terms of were you completely satisfied with the job that he's doing? What do you think about losing an offensive coordinator to Tennessee? How much do you think Kirby's going to be challenged on just saying some things about Chaney that maybe Kirby would rather just kind of leave unsaid?
Yeah, well, you know, every media group kind of has their own agenda. Obviously, that would be something that Tennessee people would want to know. They're going to want to ask Kirby about it because Jim's there now. From a national perspective, it's hard for me to predict. I think there's some more big picture items like roster management, transfers. I think we'll probably hear about Justin Fields again this week, as well as Luke Ford, as well as the incoming players. You know, Lawrence Cager. You know, what's new, right? New. So the news is who's gone and who's come. Jim Chaney would be among those. But I think we'll hear more about James Coley and what Kirby thinks about him and Lanning and Schumann. And honestly, I don't expect Kirby to say much. I mean, that's kind of the spoiler here. If you look at Kirby's MO at these events, BA, it's almost like he wants to get in and out of here with as little hype as possible, because the reality of it is they're a top five team. They're going to be talked about. He doesn't need to toot his own horn. What did he say earlier this year? They prefer to talk with their helmet. So that's my feeling, is there will be a lot of questions asked his way. I don't expect Kirby to light up on much. I'll be curious, if the Jacksonville stuff comes up again, if the College Football Playoff Committee comes up again. Those are some of the big picture items that I think could be tapped into this week.
On the Mullen thing, and Dan Mullen is there today on day one of SEC Media Days, Mike, here's my prediction. I don't think he says a word about Georgia. I don't think he says a boastful word at all. I personally believe that Mullen surely must know that he's taken a giant L this offseason. With all the departures from his program, with the recruiting losses that he's taken, I think that Mullen surely is smart enough to know that it's time to adopt a little bit more humble persona, and for what seemingly was a lot of noise coming out of Florida in like late spring, maybe early summer, there's no opportunity for that now. I don't care how many times Mullen gets asked various questions here and there. I do not think he's going to be a star of SEC Media Days. I don't think he wants to be one. I think that he's going to have to be quiet for a bit on the basis of the fact that he has seen a lot of negative headlines for his program thus far this offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, B, I don't think I've had a chance to talk with you since I did the Arian Family Foundation Golf Tournament on July 1st and interviewed Dan Mullen and Steve Spurrier. And to your point, it was a much more reserved Dan Mullen. And in that interview, and we have video of it, he talked about, you know, the relationship with Kirby and how that's just football. I mean, that's kind of like part of the showbiz, right? You get caught up in the moment. You get talking about your team. But then there's another side to these guys over the summer. You know, they both, I think, have places there down there, Reynolds Lake, Coney. There's a relationship outside of football. So I think right now, you know, everyone plays nice, so to speak. But to your point, yeah, I don't expect much out of Dan Mullen. Now, the Florida players, I got to be honest now, and I know you were on that conference call with me this morning. They never disappointed SEC.
That's meetings. True. That's true.
I think the players may have some things to say. Remember last year, BA, when one of them, I think it was C.C. Jefferson, told me that the 42-7 game was actually a lot closer than the score and that Georgia really only won on the scoreboard. So who knows what the Florida players have convinced themselves of since that last meeting in Jacksonville.
Well, let me actually back up for a minute and approach the same topic from a different way, because the maybe more objective way to talk about Florida is this. On the one hand, there is the Chris Steele departure and kind of a lot of those top 10 signees that Florida had from its 2019 class are no longer there. There is the negative take on what's happened for Florida this offseason. And yet, on the other hand, they will still be a preseason top 10 team. There is still some occasional love here and there from certain pockets of the national media. Let me ask you just a more neutral question here for a moment. Do you think in the big room, when Mullen faces the largest number of reporters that he'll see all day long, do you think that the majority of the questions are more positive-leaning or more negative-leaning? I'm honestly curious of your answer here. I obviously pointed out some potential faults with Mullen this offseason, but different people admittedly do see it different ways. Do you think Mullen gets more positive or slightly more negative-leaning questions?
Well, you know, my sense is that it'll be kind of a mix of both. Remember, he's got his Florida media contingent in there that want information, and then he's got national media that want, you know, that want to find some viral or controversial topics. So those questions kind of get mixed in together. My experience from these deals is it has a lot to do with how the coach handles it. You know, remember how bad it went a couple years ago for the previous Florida coach, McElwain, how he handled the Shark question so horribly. And the rest of it was just downhill. He never really recovered in the public forum, even past media day. So a lot of it has to do with how they handle it. I do think that Florida is headed in the right direction. I know they've had some setbacks. There typically is some attrition and some bumps when a new coach comes in and takes over. Mullen talked a little bit about that at Reynolds Lake. Things are being done a little bit differently now. Maybe the expectations are a little different. I don't think they're a threat to Georgia this season. I think Missouri is as much of a threat to Georgia this season as Florida is. But to your point, I think it's a mix, and I expect Mullen will handle it a little bit better. I do believe he's hit the reset button. I had a chance to talk one of the spring meetings, and he was decidedly more guarded than he had been in the offseason earlier.
Yeah, I think that's interesting to point out. Do you think that LSU, Ed Orgeron, I'm mostly speaking about here, do you think he gets asked about Georgia at all? And here's the reason why I would think it might come up. As I mentioned before, you know, they did go head-to-head with Georgia for John Emery Jr. Georgia held that commitment for a while. LSU ultimately won out with the in-state product. LSU did beat Georgia head-to-head a year ago, and yet in most people's mind, Georgia is the better, bigger college football favorite in comparison to LSU. Given those potential ties, is Orgeron asked to talk about Georgia at all today, you think?
Probably. I mean, that was a marquee win. It was a dominant win. You can't go back and say if this or if that. I mean, LSU won at the line of scrimmage. That doesn't happen very often against Georgia. I don't know if anybody else could say that. When Georgia was at full strength, obviously, there was a dispirited team that didn't play well against Texas. But, you know, remember, Georgia beat Alabama in the trenches last year. So that was a marquee win for Ed Orgeron and LSU. They have every right to talk about it. They earned it. They outcoached him. They outplayed him. And that's according to Kirby Smart. I mean, Kirby Smart owned it from the get-go, that they were outcoached, outplayed, and that was a great moment for LSU football and Ed Orgeron. Right now, his popularity is soaring. This was a guy a year ago that was on a hot seat. Right now, I don't think he could be much more popular than he is. You mentioned the big recruiting win. They've got a new offensive coordinator a lot of people are excited about, and a quarterback that I think performed well last year and even greater things. So, to me, LSU is a team that everyone is very bullish on, and I expect a very spirited and entertaining session from LSU, probably one of the more positive sessions of the week will come out of LSU today, I would say.
And I'll add one more thing to that discussion, Mike. It wasn't that long ago, I believe it was coming off the 10-0 loss for LSU a couple years ago to Alabama, that Orgeron went into the press conference and said he thought his team was closing the gap with Alabama. They got some headlines at the time. In terms of the biggest, boldest statement by any coach this week, I think that Orgeron is a sneaky candidate to do that because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, I've made the case in here before. I actually might believe LSU is going to win the SEC West this year. I think they're more of a national championship playoff contender than some people might realize. And if Orgeron wants to toot his horn on that regard, if he wants to say, why is no one paying attention to LSU, he's got a little ammunition to say that if he wants. And I think he's a coach that might do that. For as much as I think that Mullen wants to get in and get out and not say a whole lot about anything while he's there today, Orgeron might flex a little bit here today. He might do some of that. So if you're looking for a big quote, Orgeron might be kind of a sneaky candidate to get that done.
Yeah, I would agree. And plus, people just like to hear him talk. I mean, one of my very favorite clips is when he yells over his shoulder at the guys that he's doing an interview.
Yeah.
I mean, just thinking about it makes me laugh out loud. So, yeah, people just like to hear his voice. I've actually got a video clip that I took from media days. I haven't put it up yet, but I'll probably sneak that in today. Just if you don't have your dose of the Ed Orgeron voice. Maybe Connor can get some up by the end of the show and find the old Hummer commercial that Orgeron did at Ole Miss was pretty classic. I'll tell you what, DA, another guy that I'll be very interested to hear from today, going a little off script here, is Kelly Bryant and what he says about Clemson. To me, that's going to be fascinating. I mean, here's a guy who is in the driver's seat to be the quarterback on a national championship team, and he got unseated by Trevor Lawrence. Now, I don't think any of us would argue how talented Trevor Lawrence is, but how does Kelly Bryant feel about it? Did he get a fair shake? How does he feel about leaving Clemson? How does he feel about leading Missouri? So, and of course, what does he say about Derek Dooley? You know, it was just a year ago, Drew Locke told us the reason he came back to Missouri was to play for Derek Dooley and to play in an NFL offense. So, you're right. To me, Orgeron is going to have some powerful content, very positive. I think Barry Odom and Missouri and Kelly Bryant, I think the Tigers, you know, I know that's the show-me state, but today they might be the tell-me state.
Wow, Mike, that's quite a line to go out on there. All right, so let me set the stage for the rest of the week. You'll obviously have some stuff when it becomes necessary today, and then all over the Georgia stuff tomorrow from SEC Media Days. We'll see you on video some. We're going to read a bunch from you at dognation.com. And as I said to start the show today, it just kind of feels like the season's just kind of here. And, you know, SEC Media Days, while it's more of a media event than a fan event, probably it is one of those final quarter polls you have to get around before the season can begin. So, Mike, we'll look forward to your coverage from SEC Media Days. I'll look forward to seeing you personally there in Hoover, Alabama tomorrow. And, of course, we'll catch up with you here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon as well.
Thanks, BA. A lot of content today, by the way, for those out there watching on the Great Wall. I'll put something up after your podcast about the Great Wall and what Cole Kubelik, the offensive line expert, says about each one of these guys. And believe it or not, BA, there's a part of the Great Wall that Cole's not real high on. I'm not going to tell you which one. You're going to read the story. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So that's a really interesting tease from Mike Griffith there. He's got a piece coming up. You know, that's one of the good things. And Mike is really good about this. You know, the SEC Media Days is not just a chance to talk to coaches, players, blah, blah, blah. But you do have the guys like Cole Kubelik, you know, former SEC offensive lineman, analyst now working on that same team with Tom Hart and Jordan Rodgers. You know, Mike will talk to those guys and get some stuff from them. And I like Cole's offensive line evaluations. You know, he puts those out on Twitter a lot during the season, and he's a pretty opinionated guy, so he puts a lot of emphasis behind the opinions that he gives. And so if Cole's got a question to ask about a Georgia offensive line, I'm going to take that seriously. I'll look forward to reading that a little bit later on at dognation.com today. That should be a pretty interesting read. Before I get to the rest of the SEC through in earnest, let me also say one more thing about what Mike was just talking about. He was referencing Kelly Bryant, Missouri quarterback, being there today. Barry Odom, the Tigers, getting their day today at SEC Media Days. I briefly said this before, and I'll just restate it now. I think that when it's all said and done, from day one of SEC Media Days, I think the biggest story of all is likely to be the righteous indignation. I don't know of a better way to say it. Righteous indignation that Missouri is going to show, but the way they were treated by the NCAA. This is one of those things, and you know, when this first came out, we talked about this on the program. In the comment section, for the most part, you never really see many people in our comment section say a very nice thing about anybody else in the SEC. For the most part, you know, Georgia fans are not worried about anybody else's problems. And yet that day, it was almost unanimous of Missouri cooperated with the NCAA, still got the rule, you know, got the book thrown at them to the tune of a postseason ban. There were a lot of people who were upset on Missouri's behalf. My guess is you will hear some strong words, politically incorrect discussions from the Missouri players when asked about this, from Barry Odom when asked about this. I think gloves have come off for Missouri in its battle with the NCAA, and I can't imagine anything from a national perspective ends up being a bigger deal today than that. By the way, before we move on, let me also remind you about my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. ESOG is the place to turn. If you've got a cracked foundation, a wet basement, kind of a damp spot in your crawl space, anything like that could be the sign of a bigger problem. And Engineered Solutions of Georgia is where you want to turn, because ESOG, the word in Engineered Solutions of Georgia, the key word is solutions. Solutions. ESOG looks for solutions. That means if it's a simple fix, they'll tell you how to do it. If it's something bigger, well, that's another reason to lean on Engineered Solutions of Georgia, because they have two full-time engineers on staff. They simply have the expertise required to get your home back to the status you want it to have. After all, we're talking about the structural integrity of where you live. You don't want to fool around with that and mess around with some fly-by-night people. You want experts. Engineers on staff, they've got them in Engineering Solutions of Georgia. That's why you want to reach out to them. Dial 678-ESOG-NOW. That number, once again, simply dial 678-ESOG-NOW, and they'll be in touch with you, and you'll be on your way to getting things taken care of. All right, let me, for the SEC through, go back for a moment and look at Brett McMurphy's tweet from earlier. We talked about the playoff odds. I gave you Georgia and Alabama way up at the top. Let me give you the other the SEC teams here for a moment. Now, I picked LSU to win the SEC West. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is absolute robbery. And I got to tell you, this is not a good look for the gambling industry to have these kinds of ludicrous price gouging gambling odds. LSU at 4-1 to win the SEC, to make the college football playoff, is a complete and total joke. Now, I think they're a playoff contender. I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a 25% chance LSU makes the playoff. I mean, what these folks are basically telling you is there's essentially a 90% chance that Georgia makes the playoff, a 25% chance LSU makes the playoff, and that's before you factor Alabama in the conversation whatsoever. This is not a good look for the gambling industry. These odds, for the most part, are a total joke. They've got Auburn at 7-1. Auburn's going to barely even be a preseason top 25 team. They've got Florida at 8-1. It is interesting to see Auburn rated ahead of Florida here, even though it plays in the tougher division. I think that's accurate, but that's kind of an interesting comparison in its own right. You've got Texas A&M at 15-1 right now. That's about the closest you can get to anything looking like value on this list whatsoever. You've got Mississippi State at 20-1. I think Mississippi State's going to do well to be bowl eligible. And they're 20-1 to make the college football playoff, along with a host of teams from a variety of conferences. So I think gambling odds are fun. It used to be, and I don't remember which organizations had this, but it used to be that they would give you some no bets as well, that for the top college football playoff teams, you could also bet them on very high odds typically, but you could bet them against making the playoff. If you don't think Georgia's going to make the playoff, you used to could bet against that. I don't know that anybody still offers that anymore. That used to be pretty fun, but that's not necessarily there anymore. Let me mention something else I wanted to get to here for a moment. I thought that Barrett Salee had a really good piece at CBSSports.com going back and looking since 2012 at the official SEC media predictions during SEC Media Days. And that'll be like the last big thing that goes on for the people who are there all week. They'll get a chance to fill out their ballot, their order of finish for each of the divisions and the SEC championship. And Barrett kind of compared which teams the media is typically the most wrong about. I thought that was kind of interesting. Going back since 2012, according to Barrett, the most overhyped team in the SEC over that span has been Tennessee. What Barrett writes is that Tennessee chimed in as the most overrated team in the SEC since the split ahead of 2018 and finished dead last in the SEC East to hold on to the dubious title. The only time the media has picked the Vols correctly in the SEC East was in 2015 when they finished second in the division behind Florida. Now, obviously, I kind of joked a little bit earlier about my kind of egregious misstep with the Colin Cowherd stuff from Friday, but I do think there's something kind of instructive in that. Cowherd wanted to put Tennessee in the playoff back in 2016. Other people have wanted to make them a serious contender in the SEC East. And almost every single year in which Tennessee has been overhyped, I believe, the one thing you're going to look and see is the media overvaluing experience compared to just overall raw talent. I think the media sometimes makes a mistake in assuming that an average player gets better simply because he's a year older. And that's not necessarily the case. I'm not trying to tell you that experience doesn't matter. At some positions, statistically speaking, it matters quite a bit. But experience in and of itself cannot counterbalance just sheer overall overwhelming talent from one of your opponents. I think that's relevant here this year. And it's not just because this is what Georgia fans want to hear. It just happens to be true. Tennessee and Florida in the SECs both have more returning talent by virtue of the percentage of stats, yards from offense, tackle, sacks, things like that on defense. Tennessee and Florida both have more of that than Georgia does. Tennessee happens to have way more than that than Georgia does. Yet if you gave me the choice of being the most experienced team in the SECs or the overall most talented team in the SEC East, obviously, you want to have that overwhelming talent. Tennessee has proven a couple times that experience in itself can be a bit of a misnomer about how a team overall performs. Now, Georgia is also on this overhyped list, but you can point to some pretty specific seasons. Unfortunately, those did come near the end of the Mark Richt era when Georgia clearly underplayed its expectations. And so, for the most part, Georgia shows up on this list because of that. The other thing to kind of get to here, when it comes to the underhyped teams, Mississippi State shows up as a team that has performed better than its preseason expectations. And if you want to know why, Dan Mullen gets a second look, and Dan Mullen gets a little bit of praise and gets a little bit of an expectation of, hey, maybe he's going to turn things around at Florida. This is, for the most part, the engine that drives all of that when it comes to Mullen. It's why I asked Mike Griffith a moment ago. It's why I asked him if Mullen gets more positive-leaning questions or negative-leaning questions here today when he speaks at SEC Media Days. Because for as bad as the Florida offseason has been, there is a pocket of media out there. Some of it's national, some of it's regional. I'm sure a lot of it's centered right there in the state of Florida that simply doesn't think Mullen needs talent to win because he's such a good coach, as proven by his run at Mississippi State. But for the most part, you know, the real feather in Mullen's cap going back to his time in Starkville was he was almost always picked to finish last in the SEC West, and he typically did not do that. So it's clear and undeniable that Mullen overplayed expectations in terms of what happened there at Mississippi State. But as we've explained on this program many times before, it is a far cry dealing with the expectations that exist in Florida. Florida fans don't want to be plucky underdogs. Florida fans want to compete at the highest level. Unfortunately, no matter how good of an X's and O's Coach Mullen is, I think the jury's out on that one way or another, but no matter how good of an X's and O's Coach Mullen is, it's the Jimmies and Joes, to borrow an overused cliche, on the other side of the field in his key games that are a huge, huge problem for him. All right, a lot more to talk about, but unfortunately no time to discuss it here on today's program. Let me go away from football for a moment before we get out of here today. I was watching a little bit of PGA Tour golf yesterday. This is not the greatest weekend for golf, to be completely honest with you. A lot of folks resting up for the start of the British Open next weekend. But you did have the Quad Cities over there in somewhere in Illinois this weekend. Russell Henley almost won that thing. He shot 61 yesterday. I think that ties him for the lowest round on tour all year. So he made a big run to kind of get himself in condition. He ultimately finished second, though. But listen, you go out on a PGA Tour course. Now, the Quad Cities event typically plays one of the easier events on tour. But you go out and shoot a 61 in PGA Tour play, that's quite a performance from the former dog. By the way, speaking of the Gators, Gator Hater Updater, how about 989 days? That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.